In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Church prepares us already from today, even though the fast begins tomorrow, and assigns for us readings from Holy Scripture that prepare us for this journey that is to come, the journey of the great and holy Lent for the next 55 days. And the Church wishes to point our attention to aspects of our spiritual life that I can perhaps characterize as my relationship to myself, my relationship to others, and my relationship to God. My relationship to myself is fasting. What is it that I allow both into my mouth, into my stomach, but also into my eyes, into my thoughts? How it is that I interact with the world? My relationship to others is love, charity, good works of all kinds. And my relationship with God, which takes the majority of this gospel reading, is prayer. How it is that I can approach God in prayer, so that I can benefit the most, so that I can be with God the most, so that I can focus on the kingdom of heaven the most in this coming season. And because the Church and the Holy Gospel gives us this lesson, there are, in fact, many loopholes, many pitfalls, that one can fall into when trying to fast, when trying to be kind and charitable, and when trying to pray even. Even prayer has its own pitfalls that we should be aware of in order to approach this life of spirit for the next 2 months or so well, to approach it with benefit, to approach it with spiritual enrichment and being able to be with God. So one of the first things that are said here in this gospel from St. Matthew is take heed, be careful, that is. You do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. What is charity? Charity is every act of kindness that we do. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be physical money. But it can be, but it can also be acts of love and acts of kindness that we do towards anyone that we encounter. So how is it that we can do something, an act of charity, and not be seen by men? There's at least the one person that I'm dealing with, right? If I give money to someone, or if I act kindly towards someone or love someone, by definition, that's a human being that is observing what I'm doing. But the fathers of the Church are clear that the emphasis in this verse is on purpose. Do not do your charitable deeds before men in order to be seen by them. It's a very common temptation when we are kind towards someone, when we love others, to want to be praised for this, to want to be acknowledged for this, especially if the person on the receiving end does not seem to acknowledge our kindness or our graciousness or our love towards them. We want to point that out to them, right? It's our human tendency. We want them to notice that what we did for them was not something easy or something casual, but it was a deliberate act of love. But the Lord warns us here that we should not even think about it to ourselves. Do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Do not let your one hand know what your other hand is doing. And again, this comes from this physical, visual scene of doing charity, physically giving money or something to somebody who is in need. But you can apply this to any other act of kindness or charity or love in your life. Do not, in other words, dwell on it. I want to be acknowledged. I want to be recognized, if not by the person that I acted towards, but at least by others, that I was kind and loving. No, don't dwell on that, because then God will reward you much more abundantly than any kind of praise or reward that you would get from men. Same thing when you pray, and we hear something here about prayer. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites, by the way, in Greek means actors. Somebody who puts on a mask, and that's how people acted in the ancient world in the theater. They put on masks that represented something they were not, and that was their profession and their way of entertainment. So don't be an actor, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Again, purpose, that they may be seen by men. Again, taken literally, at the very least, our assembling in church would be called into question, right? Do not be praying before men, go into your room and close your door. Well, then why do we gather here in church? Everybody sees me Monday morning, 8 to 11, that I'm praying. Everybody sees you Sunday morning, 8 to 11, that you're praying. and hopefully also Friday night 11:30. But the question is about your state of mind, your state of spirit. Are you just in church attending a service from 1 hour to you know 2.5 hours later, or are you actually praying? We see sometimes many of the deacons sometimes go out and do things and come back and constantly kind of moving around and doing things. Is that prayer? We see servants who feel that they have the duty to go out and go to the hall and do this and that and prepare for things. Is that prayer? You should be striving as much as you can to not only be inside this physical area that we call the church, but to be in the church of your own heart. And it says here, when you pray, go into your room, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. God is everywhere. Why are they saying God who is in the secret place as though he is nowhere else? Because you will find God the most in your heart. You will find God the most in the secret area that no one else knows about, and that is between you and God alone. And so then the Lord gives his disciples the prayer of Our Father who art in heaven. And it's not just about reminding us today of a prayer that we know very well. We actually say Our Father about 7 times every liturgy. I counted them. Matins and liturgy, if you count every single time we say Our Father all the way to the end, it's 7 times. I know that you know it, but if you focus on every one of these verses and pray it well, oftentimes we hear the deacons going through the prayer so fast, when it's the one prayer that the Lord gave us verbatim in Scripture. Deacons, watch your cadence. Slow down. Why? Because I doubt that we really are thinking about each of these verses as we pray the Our Father every time. We pray it so often that we don't think of it as much. But every one of these petitions, every one of these sentences in the Our Father points us towards the kingdom. Our Father reminds us that our Father who is not just here on earth, he is up in heaven. Also reminds us that we have been given this grace to be his children. And by extension also, it means that we are all brothers and sisters, because he is not just my Father or your Father, he's our Father. So right from the very beginning, it's a reminder for all of us for this act of charity that we talked about. That when we pray Our Father, the very first word reminds us that we are brothers and sisters with everyone who art in heaven. It's not a God that is far removed from us in heaven. That was indeed how gods were in the ancient world. And indeed, to some extent also in Judaism and in Islam. But our God in Christianity, our Christian God, he is closer to us than anybody else. But when we say our Father who art in heaven, it's not to say that he is far from us. It is to say that our place is also in heaven with him. Where my Father is, this is where I am. And so right from the very beginning, we reorient our minds in this prayer, and it's in this season that our mind should be focused on the kingdom, not on things that are here on earth. Hallowed be thy name. What is to hallow? We don't say this word in common speech, so we don't really think about it very much. But literally it means to sanctify, to make holy, to glorify and to praise. Well, how is it that I can add anything to God by hallowing him or somehow making him holy? Of course we can't. We say in the liturgy of St. Gregory, you have no need of my service or my servitude, but I have need of your lordship. So God doesn't need us to hallow him, but we show forth God's holiness in our actions, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That is what it means to hallow the Lord in our lives. We do this by focusing on the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And it's a petition. But the kingdom is not just something that will take place or manifest itself at the end of times or at the end of our lives. If we are indeed focused, if we are indeed determined, especially this season, to rid ourselves of anything that gets in the way between us and God, God's kingdom can indeed manifest itself to a certain measure in our lives now. And that is the whole point. Reorienting our minds. That is what the fast is all about. Yes, it starts with food and drink and what's on the menu and what's in the fridge. But it should lead you very quickly to realize that everything gives you a false sense of security. whether it's the food you put in your mouth or whether it's the comfort of possessions or security or even the love of others in your life. Ultimately, you have one goal and one destination, and that is the kingdom of heaven, and that is what Lent is supposed to be all about. Clearing up these things from your mind so that you can focus on the one and only, so that when you say, thy kingdom come, you really mean it, because you're working on that. See, it's easy for us to think of the kingdom as just bliss, as just pleasures, as just something that will be revealed that we don't quite understand fully, but we just know it's going to be good for us in the end of times. But are we really able, or are we really willing to put in the work here and now for God's kingdom to be revealed in our lives? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is manifested when we do His will. Oftentimes we think of this petition as just a desperate cry to kind of let go and accept that God is in control. Oh, I lost my job, thy will be done. Oh, I failed my test, thy will be done. But no, thy will be done means that we here now, being His children, you remember, our Father, we do His will. And when we have indeed invested in our own spiritual growth, when we indeed have invested in focusing only on God's kingdom and ridding ourselves of anything that stands in that way between us and heaven, then we will have that clarity to show us what is God's will in our life. So then I can do it. So then I can be a true son and daughter of our Lord and Savior and be able to put God's will in my life into effect, not just be walking around in darkness saying thy will be done and have no idea what that is. And it's not because God is not revealing His will, it's because I'm not listening. It's because I have all these things in my mind that are earthly attachments, whether food or drink or possessions or whatever it is that might be, pride, education, job, career, anything, that stand in my way and seeing clearly where God's will is leading. Give us this day our daily bread. Commentators and scholars and fathers of the church have debated many times what this phrase really means. St. John Chrysostom likes to think of it as, give us today our sufficient bread for today. Just last week, we meditated on the feeding of the multitude, and we've seen that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cares for our both body and soul, not just our souls. He's able to provide for us everything that we need. So St. John Chrysostom reminds us that this means we ask only for the bread that is sufficient. Not for luxuries, not for fancy food, we're going to put that aside for now, and not to be obsessive about the bread of tomorrow. What are we going to have tomorrow, the day after? Food, drink, or support systems of any kind. Again, it's about getting rid of the false sense of security that we often develop between us and the material world. And we think, oh, we need this, the car, the house, the food, the human relations that we have, that kind of our support system. But just for the next few weeks, it's not that long, we focus on, we don't need anything but God alone. And He provides for us every day when we ask Him. Of course, the most essential bread is not the physical food that we eat, but it's the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the most fundamental food for our souls and our spirits that keeps us spiritually alive, if not physically alive. Forgive us this day, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The person who is focused on the kingdom has no time to worry about these grudges. Oftentimes we obsess about so-and-so spoke to me in a certain way or offended my feelings or hurt me. And we obsess about these things and we can't let go. But the person that has a determined path, who knows where they want to go, has no time to waste on these things. So forgive others and be forgiven so that we can all be focused on the most essential things in our lives, and that is arriving in the kingdom again. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Greek text of the New Testament is ambiguous on this point because it could be the evil one, but it could be evil in the most general sense. I won't get into details why this is ambiguous in Greek, but I can explain it to you if you're interested after. But traditionally in our church, we've always said, deliver us from the evil one. And it is a reminder for us that our enemy is the devil, a person, a character, not just abstract evil or abstract temptations, but that there is indeed a fallen angel called Satan in our church that constantly tries to drive us away or to pull us away from our destination, from our purpose. And that is a reminder for us, deliver us from the evil one. It's not a prayer so that we may not ever be found in temptation, because temptations will come, not only from the devil, but also from our own inclinations, what we've allowed ourselves to think of and to become in our fallen nature. But we pray that we may be delivered from temptation, that we may be found to be able to withstand temptation according to what our Father who is in heaven would like us to do. May the Lord grant us here to focus on the Holy Fast in this mentality in mind. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, we have to prepare for it, and we prepare for it by good relations towards myself in fasting, others in charity and love, and good life of prayer in this season. May God bless us all and grant us his kingdom now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.